Cool. So welcome back to Between Two Aeroids. I'm your host, Haley Grace, and this is a podcast where we talk about houseplants, botany, and everything in between. And today I have Dan Dalton of Dalton Conservatory on Instagram. But go ahead and introduce yourself, Dan. Just let the listeners know a little bit about you and everything.
Hello, everybody. My name's Dan Dalton, and I'm the founder of Dalton Conservatory. It's an educational platform based in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and we focus on the neotropics and the tropical world of the planet and sharing and learning more about how that region of the earth affects all of us.
Awesome. So you just took a trip to Brazil this past month in January. What part of Brazil did you end up visiting?
Yeah, it was very excellent trip. I was lucky enough to be able to visit the state of Rio de Janeiro, and I primarily stayed in Rio de Janeiro and went a little bit further west to Guaritaba, where there are some additional UNESCO gardens that are just absolutely incredible. But I stayed in the state of Rio de Janeiro. So mind you, Brazil is a huge country, as big as America. And truthfully, the Amazon is more in the state of Amazonas, and Manaus is the largest city of that region. But this area is the last remnant of the Atlantic tropical rainforest ecosystem. So quite unique.
What was the plant diversity like out there, like including the vegetables and fruits available and even just like plants you would see on the street, just like city landscaping?
Incredible, beyond grounding. So, I mean, to set the stage, 10% of all plant and animal life lives in Brazil. It's literally the most diverse country on the planet. And so, in town, even in city parks and right along the road, you see fiddle leaf figs that are full on trees, you know, 40 feet tall, rubber plants, same story, Ficus elastica, huge trees. And the diversity is really high, but there's a lot of unique landscapes. So it's interesting because there's so many plants that are very niche. And one of the coolest surprises for me was seeing the large amount of cacti growing straight out of rocks, straight out of the cliff faces, right out of the ocean. And so you have these giant palms. Acai is a very heavily planted crop, and there's a lot of those palm trees as well. And then you also have cacti and aeroids, and just incredible. The Jardim Botanico, so the Botanic Gardens in Rio, has a massive collection and a super high diversity count. I want to say over 3,000 species of plants at that location. Wow. And same with the other garden I visited, the Sitio of Roberto Burrell Marx, that hosts over 3,500 species of plants. So it's wonderful to see a sampling of that, but knowing that you barely have seen anything, and kind of the way the rainforest is that everything is very spotty, and you may see plants in one area and the next place that you would see that plant would be hundreds of miles away. There's just so much competition.
Wow, that's really awesome.
Oh, the fruits and veggies you asked about. Oh yeah. I mean, there's so much.
Also, I just know on your Instagram, you just kept showing these like interesting fruits and vegetables that you're trying. So I was really interested in.
It's a whole other conversation with your diet and food culture too. That's something that I think can be easy to forget about in northern latitudes because we are not as connected in some ways to our tropical food system like that. But if you're a fruit aficionado, every single market, every single table, I don't think I saw less than 5 varieties of banana. And many things I didn't know what they were. I've tried to learn Portuguese for a year. It got me by really well, but there were many things I didn't know what to call them. And so fruits like sugar apples and lychee that are less common here in the States are very fresh and readily available there. And not as many vegetables that I saw, a lot of carrots, a lot of root vegetables, but high diversity in fruits and very regularly fruit stands where you could get acai blended drinks and fresh coconut, cocoa mm-hmm. cut open. So a lot of diversity when it comes to fruits and the food that you can eat. And we're talking about coffee too, because you're so close to a lot of these plantations that raise coffee beans and cacao and chocolates. So a lot of these plants thrive there, and you may wake up every morning and have a cup of coffee, and likely it grew somewhere in the neotropical region of South America or Africa. So it's pretty cool to be that close.
That's awesome. Straight to the source.
Straight to the source. That's right.
So I know, I think it was in back in 2018 and 2019 where that was, there was a giant wildfire in the Amazon rainforest. What kind of changes, like when you went to some of these botanic sites, did they educate you about what's happening in the rainforest, or a little bit of the knowledge you have by yourself and what you saw like firsthand?
It's really interesting. That's an excellent question. And I want to remind everybody that I sort of had a myopic view being only in Rio. This is a huge part of the planet. It is super crucial. 20% of the Amazon rainforest has been destroyed already. It's kind of shocking that one-fifth is already gone. And part of the fires that you're talking about, and not to get too political here, you can feel the tension with a lot of the people that live in Brazil too, that the government is perhaps wanting to expand in areas of agriculture rapidly that are very detrimental to the rainforest ecosystems, mm-hmm. primarily clearing the rainforest to run cattle, yep. which is a completely foolish idea with the ecosystem. And for those of you that don't know, the rainforests of the planet have very little nutrients in the soils themselves. And the entire ecosystem is, if you will, in motion and in the biodiversity itself. Once that's removed, the land becomes really arid very quickly. So even in Rio, there had been large periods of logging, and it was not noticeable anymore, but there have been many things that have changed in Brazil and in Rio that have aided in the growth of the rainforest, and that was beautiful to see. Some of the things we're talking about happened long ago. The botanic gardens in Rio were founded in 1808, I believe, so we're talking, they've been around for a while. But the surrounding area, this Atlantic coastal rainforest, was logged heavily, but then that was stopped and it was actually replanted by one of the kings, I believe, of Brazil. And it is now included. Many of these areas right around the city of Rio proper are included in the UNESCO World Heritage list, and they are protected much better than they used to be, because it is clear that they are another reservoir of life and biodiversity that if the planet loses, it is impossible to recreate. It's so absolutely unique and special. So there are some positive things happening to rainforests as well. As far as the education, I would say that it's very still challenging for many individuals, both in America and in Brazil, to understand the complexities of this problem and really know what to do about it. Definitely something that I observed was a very large gap in wealth in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And many individuals that we're talking about are trying to feed their family literally every day. And so it's a balance. It's a greater question about how we view plants in society, how we work together with these resources, because we can definitely bolster the amount of food and resources available to everybody if we can manage these areas wisely and sustainably. So, yeah, that's an excellent question. My heart palpitates pretty heavily daily about the situation, because it has been called a tipping point for over a decade now, and seeing how many people are there and how quickly it's happening. when you brought up the fires, that was the first year that the Amazon was a carbon positive, which is not good. Usually it is a carbon reservoir. All of that carbon is stored in all of the life. And when you release it, not only are we losing the plants and the biodiversity and all of that, we're helping to speed the acceleration of warming in our atmosphere. It's truly incredible to see it in person and just flying there. When you can look out of the plane and see the large swathes of forest that are just cut down, you start to understand the magnitude of it all.
Yeah, it's kind of like the ocean. We haven't discovered much of the ocean. And I know until recently with, I always forget the name, but something dar, where you can see above the brush and actually like see within the forest floor without having to trek through 20 miles of thick forest. They've found new civilizations. So it really is something we fully don't have a grasp on just the amount of interconnecting and working that's happening that we're benefiting from unconsciously. And just education, I think, is really, and hopefully most people get to go see that in their lifetime or try and watch as much as they can now with the internet and video, because I think it's a whole different story when you see it in person. But being able to like just see the magnitude of it is really awestrucking, I would assume.
It is. It's of course, I'm very privileged and happy. Not everybody is able to travel internationally. It is a lot of work and a lot has to be planned for it, perhaps. But I would highly recommend, as you said, if you have the ability to go to one of these places, to do it. And as far as that goes, where I visited was very safe and very good to visit and a good way to explore some of these places. That are now UNESCO World Heritage Sites. Really incredible.
So in what ways is Brazil bringing like awareness to plant life and diversity that's possibly going to be lost? I know you went to a couple of sites like Sitio Roberto Berla Marx, and you talked about earlier the Jardim Botanico de Rio. Are there kind of advocacy and education tools on those sites?
Definitely. Something that was really wonderful to see and humbling is that there is a large focus on education and integrating the landscape into everyday life. And so that person that you mentioned, or that place you mentioned, Roberto Berla Marx, he was the preeminent landscape architect of Brazil. And some of the marks that he left on the landscape, most of the public parks in Rio were designed and built by him. And they're really fantastic, not only in how they flow, but how they include people and art. So there are places where you can easily kind of sneak away and there's a little kind of sculpture in the corner, or even the walkway that you're walking on is built of stones that are representing the cultures of the people, black and white in waves, bringing the ocean and the mountain together. So there's this connectedness that you feel definitely in Brazil. And I think that the individuals that live there feel that maybe even more strongly than other folks. So just kind of in how the city itself is set up, there's an awareness of the life and diversity that's going around. I mean, you're sitting there eating at like this outdoor little restaurant and there's little monkeys going across on the power lines. Like there's just like a lot more of a connectedness in the sense that there's just a lot more life, period.
Yeah,
so right, that's in front cool of you. To see. And so the Jardim, and Botanico is free to students and all people in Brazil as well that are studying. So they make their resources open to the public very easily. And I think that that is an excellent way to engage the community, to engage people. I have some friends that I was able to connect and stay with and climb with that both were in the field of botany. One is a dendrochronologist and the other is an ecologist. And they had done a lot of work with the botanic gardens in Rio. And the tools that are available for classes and students are really amazing. It's pretty cool to see that. Similarly with the Sitio, which is almost hard to describe with words because it's such a moving place. It's an old coffee plantation. And this fella, he moved there, Roberto Burl Marx. He was the son of a German Jew immigrant and a Brazilian French mother. And he had this eye for art and landscape that really brought people together in more ways than can be described. It's an outdoor art botanic gardens. And when I say art, it's more history and pieces of the past of Brazil and Rio's development. So buildings that would be destroyed or have gotten kind of forgotten in Rio that are torn down, he would take these pieces and rebuild buildings on his 100-acre site. Some of them are incredible, and the stones were carved in the 1800s. There's a church on the site that was built in the 1500s. There's carvings and paint and ceramics that are interwoven into the landscape that you can't quite see at first, but when you get closer, you can see it, and it's flawlessly smooth in how you move through the land. And it's really cool to see that when you purposefully include plants in your life and think about how they grow, have their shapes, their colors, their sizes, and use that to build the life around you or your house around you, your space around you, that you can find this balance that is a really restorative environment that allows you to be calm and think and be creative. And that's something that I think emanates beyond that sitio. It goes to other places in Brazil and in Rio as well. So that's very helpful. That's a strong message for the rainforests and the plant life around that area, because so many people can access it then. I mean, they even made this little board game. It was so cool. They made this little traveling board game that had these 3D printed pieces. They were like palms, so that, because Brazil has been struck by COVID just like anywhere else, and they have not been able to help school groups and a lot of these people that they normally would have been able to if COVID were not so harsh. So they instead created some memory games and board games that are built around understanding plants and art and history, and those are free for teachers to use in their classrooms. So there's a lot of outreach as much as possible, I think, and especially towards youth and the kids, which is excellent to see, because they will be the ones making the decisions here soon.
Awesome. Yeah, I really appreciate you bringing up a little bit of Burl Marx history, because I tried to do some before this. I read a little bit about him, but when I went to go on YouTube to like see visuals and maybe like pictures of just like a biography type thing, I found a lot of it was in Portuguese, and some was translated with subtitles, but others weren't. And like the New York Botanical Gardens had two lectures on him, which were like 2 hours a piece, which were really great. But it seemed that there was a lot of pride from people from Rio that wanted to share this story.
Here's something else that I didn't bring. I could talk for hours about this guy. I'm kind of enamored. But to your points, he was one of the first Brazilians to openly speak out against deforestation, and that was gutsy and kind of rare, because much of the history of Brazil is dictatorship or royalty, and speaking out against that is normally something that is frowned upon. I mean, currently Bolsonaro is a dictator in Brazil pretty much, right? So he was one of the first natives to speak out. And another thing that many people don't know is that Roberto Burl Marx was gay, and he never really spoke about it or came out, because especially in the 40s, 50s, 60s in Brazil, it was a time where that was not, it's really unfortunate, right? These people were victimized and singled out. And so that has changed too now in Rio. Rio is actually one of the cities that is very open, and even on the beaches, you can see certain areas that very heavily embrace the LGBTQ community. But the fact that this individual didn't have children, and he wanted to donate this to the Brazilian government when he died. He lived on the Sitio till he died in 1994, I think is one of the most beautiful gifts ever. And it just speaks to the diversity of humankind and people too. And so very cool.
I mean, plants are some of the best heirlooms, I think, to leave around, because they just keep getting bigger. And also,
My gosh,
your life, in my opinion, your life force lives throughout them, because you take care of them for so long, and he built all of that. So I could only imagine the feeling of his spirit.
And all the rare, the quote, you know, the rare ones, because he went on journeys with so many people and collected them from the areas that they grew natively in the country. So there's the Spiritu Sancti, and I still get messages today about on Facebook, how much does this cost? You know, it's really sad, because people immediately go to price point, but there are so many memories and he expresses its feelings about the environment around you. So that's definitely a unique part of Brazil or of Rio. I can't speak to other areas, but when you have that all interwoven together, it makes you feel pretty good. Highly recommend going. Highly, highly recommend going. I could literally go on for hours. There's art pieces that are just out of control, beautiful. There's plants that are just incredible. And
I heard too, his like landscape design has really set forth the way Botanic Gardens lay out their designs as well in the 20th century.
Oh yeah, he had influence in an international scale for sure. There are many projects and examples where he influenced, like you just mentioned, how a botanic gardens may be laid out. And it's something you don't necessarily even think about, but when you walk and you look at the scene and you can see the layered textures that are comprised of different plants because of their colors and heights. Now you can tell that this is somebody who understood different species and understood the environment, right? They understand that as a human, there's unfortunately no way that we can interact with the world around us without changing it or altering it. But if you can listen really well and you can pick up clues from the environment, from nature, you can start to use those as tools to express yourself with those plants or with that environment in a sustainable way. And that's what's just so, so really cool. Yeah, that's a humbling feeling. The Sitio is a place, though, that you would want to do a little bit of research about. You have to have a reservation. There are armed guards at the front gates. It's pretty intense. They definitely make sure that that area is protected.
So he lived on that property until he passed away in 1994, right? Or
he did. So he moved there, and his brother kind of helped him get it started. It's about 100 acres, and it backs up to a national rainforest as well. I'm not certain if it's a Tijuca National Rainforest or not, but he then sort of used that 100 acres of coffee plantation as his springboard for all of these amazing buildings and projects. And he had an outdoor art studio where he regularly would paint, and there are ponds and so many cool little landscapes. And then it was donated to the Brazilian government upon his passing, and then included and added to the UNESCO World Heritage List in 2021. That was the same year that the rainforests around the city of Rio were also added to that list. So that includes Tijuca National Forest and very infamous like Coronado, where the Christ the Redeemer is. Really cool, right? There's just always these constant reminders of how people and the environment are interwoven or connected. There's no way around it. So
there is that new building being proposed in Denver. I don't know if it has the green light now, but they're going to build a sky rise with landscaping in the middle of it. Think like a claw, and then they just put greenery in the middle of it. Do you think for American culture that is something that's going to put the environment straight in our faces and kind of make like us more conscious than just living in these concrete jungles, as people call them? I know we're a little spoiled here in Colorado that like you still get a lot of nature even when you don't always go out searching for it. There's a lot of open space out here, so we're really lucky. But when I lived in California, it was like a 2-hour, hour-and-a-half drive to go to somewhere that seemed a little untouched by humans.
That's an excellent question. And I honestly don't know exactly how I feel because I'm a little torn. I think those spaces are very important for people. They require a lot of effort and care and thought in their design and execution. As you mentioned a few times already during this show, there's kind of a spirit or an energy that goes with plants. And that's something that you can't just plan out. It's a living organism, right? It's like a human. It's like bringing a child into the world. That being said, those spaces are so crucially important, especially in places like Colorado, because we are so very disconnected from the tropical parts of the world. And they are really the lifeblood, the breath of the planet. And I'm not being hippy-dippy about this. Like literally they help to drive the way that weather patterns and rain flows over the world. And so on top of being giant reservoirs of food and diversity for medicines and other things, these very much so are important for us up here. You know, and having those spaces where you can see that more easily, I think is crucial. There are many places in Colorado that you mentioned outside are wonderful. We're very blessed. When it comes to the tropical sort of worlds, there's not enough resources, in my opinion. And this is part of why I created the Dalton Conservatory, because I do hope that we can continue to build spaces like this that can help people to connect in a deeper way with the planet, to restore them in an emotional sense. I mean, if you really think about it, our long ago ancestors came out of environments that were tropical rainforests before we spread across the planet. So it is at the root of humanity. And I'm all for environments like that. A little bit harder to do because it has to be indoors. There are many cities around the world that embrace this style, this idea, from countries like France all the way to maybe the best examples you can see in Singapore.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. Like, their airport is like grown into. The videos I see and like the pictures I see, I'm just awestruck of how much it is intertangled.
Yeah, gardens by the bay. This is another place I'd love to visit at some point in my life. But I wish that there would be a group passionate enough to push this in a legislative direction too, because much like when you build spaces and there's maybe a requirement for public art or art pieces in a concrete jungle, as you mentioned, I think that including and making it important to include green spaces is just as crucial. So I'm all for that.
You were saying earlier how it's a living thing and you have these plans, but they might not always work out that way. In the rendition they have, it's like moss and all these green things. And with talking with my coworkers, you know where I work, like we also do plantscaping. So we're like, oh, we should bid. But like thinking about it, the trial and error that's going to go into making that an ecosystem that could work is
term establishment. And this is where when I say listen or connect in a more nerdy or botanical sense, you would look at measuring things that are involved with microclimates. I know that you've talked about on your podcast tons of these topics. So I hope that folks listening are stoked on this and go back and listen to a bunch of the old episodes because they're freaking awesome. But to your point, you have to look at the whole system. And to bring it back to saving the rainforests, I feel like I heard that since I was growing up as a child. We have such a huge system, and sometimes you get rid of things, you don't even know what they did or how important they are to the system. So diversity is the spice of life, right? Yes. I mean, name me a single freaking example where diversity is a bad thing. It's never in diversity in thought, diversity in life. These are all strengths of humanity and of being on this planet.
And that's how you evolve. You can't just be the same thing and you'll be stagnant at that point in life. Is forever growing and trying to evolve. And what our ancestors to what we are now. And in comparison, like, it's just, it needs to evolve. So having multiple things to work with better helps in that. Yeah.
That's the only thing that's constant, right? Is change. And I'm major applaud and praise to you. I'm bowing because this podcast is super dope. It's super cool. And education is so crucial. Getting people just excited and wanting to learn about things is really, really crucial because we can only make informed decisions if we know about the world around us. And there are many areas in the world and many structures designed around us to prevent us from learning about the world. And never will you regret learning about the environment around you, eating good food, putting something inside of you that is pure and fresh. And these are all steps in everybody's journey to working together because much like a rainforest ecosystem, if we're going to legitimately live on this planet for another 1,000 years without destroying the environment, we all have to connect and communicate and diversify our ability to think critically, to think with an open heart. And these are all truths of reality that everybody's faced with every day. So hopefully plants can be a conduit of good in that conversation.
Yes. Well, I really appreciate you coming on and talking about your experiences in Brazil. And I obviously would love to have you on again. Is there any last words that you would want to leave the people with? The floor is yours.
Oh man, absolutely not. Just want to thank everybody who is listening for their support and for being curious and wanting to learn more. I guess all I have to say is boa noche e valeu.
What does that mean?
It means good night and thanks. Valeu is kind of a slang Rio talk for thanks. It was good. It was nice. And boa noche is good night. So yeah, learn another language. It's if you don't know another language, it's never too late to start. And that's one of the coolest things you can do too in your spare time. So
I all want to tell you guys to definitely go follow Dalton Conservancy on Instagram.
Conservatory.
At Dalton Conservatory on Instagram. He posts really cool like quizzes on his stories and just really cool pictures of his travels and also here. And I really appreciate you being on, and I hope you all have a good night, and you have a good night too, Dan. Thank you so much.
I appreciate everything you do.